brought to you by Thomas Allgaier and Frenes. This edition highlights key LinkedIn posts on social selling in weeks 19 and 20. Frenes supports clients with identifying target attendees for events, crafting outreach that cuts through the noise, and driving qualified registrations through strategic LinkedIn engagement. You can find more info in the description.
So if you're out there, you know, relying on your company's LinkedIn corporate page to generate pipeline this year, you're essentially flying blind. I mean, you are basically invisible at this point.
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of B2B marketers, but it's true. Today, we're taking a deep dive into the top social selling trends seen across LinkedIn in 2026.
Right. And it's just a totally different landscape now.
It really is. So to give you an idea of what we're unpacking today, we're looking at the shifting mechanics of B2B pipeline generation, recent algorithm updates, and what content actually works right now. No fluff, just the strategic realities.
Exactly. And honestly, we have to start with this algorithm reset, because before anyone can generate pipeline, you have to understand the new rules of distribution.
Right. And the biggest shift is that LinkedIn, you know, it's just no longer a relationship network. It operates as an interest graph now.
Which is a huge distinction.
Yeah. I mean, in the old model, if we were connected, you saw my posts, period. But we both and Richard Vanderbloom have been charting how that's, well, it's entirely dead. The algorithm doesn't care who you know anymore. It only cares about topic relevance.
And that's actually where Vanderbloom uncovered this brutal statistic. He found that the algorithm has structurally capped company page reach at a dismal 1.6%.
Wait, 1.6%?
Yeah. So if your brand has like 10,000 followers, your post might legitimately only hit 160 people in the feed.
Wow. That basically rewrites the entire playbook.
It forces a total reset because the platform is heavily prioritizing individual creators who match what they call a semantic fingerprint.
A semantic fingerprint. Okay, break that down for us.
So every time you post, the AI is essentially mapping the conceptual territory of your content. If you're known for, say, supply chain logistics, and then suddenly you post about, you know, inspirational leadership quotes, your fingerprint breaks. The algorithm sees that mismatch between your semantic history and what your followers actually engage with, and it just kills the reach.
That is wild. And Bliss Oyoye and Justin Overman actually broke down the technical reality of how the system evaluates this.
Like the token rule.
Yes. Overman isolated this thing called the 60 token rule. When you hit publish, the AI doesn't wait for human reactions. It instantly evaluates the first 240 characters of your post.
Which is nothing, by the way. That's, what, two or three short sentences?
Exactly. It uses those first tokens to form a semantic impression of your intent and originality. It's like the algorithm is this incredibly strict professor grading your essay's thesis statement based on just the first two sentences.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, if you sound like everyone else, you just instantly fail the distribution test. So if you start with, "I am so thrilled and honored to announce," you've wasted your whole 60 token allocation on generic filler.
And the AI reads that, finds zero original value, tags it as corporate spam, and downranks it before a human even sees it.
Uh-huh.
Though there is a really fascinating debate about the exact architecture doing this grading.
Oh, right, the 360 brew rumor.
Yeah. Will McTighe actually visited LinkedIn headquarters recently. And he says this 360 brew algorithm, which creators have been treating like the ultimate boogeyman, was just a scrapped engineering test from last year.
Oh, really? So it's not even active?
According to his sources, no. He says the filtering is now purely driven by pure LLMs, just reading your post intent.
I mean, whether it's 360 brew or just standard LLMs, the outcome for B2B marketers is the exact same. The machine is aggressively punishing generic corporate speak.
Throwing agency money at five sanitized posts a week is basically a black hole now.
So, because the algorithm is filtering so heavily, what actually survives? Bianca Kaulitz framed this beautifully. She says, we're in the era of ungoogleable content.
I love that term.
Right. It means if a user can take your premise, type it into ChatGPT, and get the exact same framework in 3 seconds, your post will fail.
Because there's just no proprietary value.
Yeah.
You need concrete observations from your actual workday, you know, personal case studies.
Yep.
Unmistakable opinions.
Speaking of unmistakable, Noam Nissan shared this brutal humanizer prompt for AI-written posts. If you use LLMs to draft content, he says you have to command the AI to strip out all TED Talk energy.
Oh, that's hilarious. It's so necessary.
Yeah, he completely bans words like pivotal or landscape or delve, yeah, because those words are mathematically the most probable words an AI selects when trying to sound professional.
And LinkedIn's pattern recognition flags those words instantly. But this push for real human authenticity is also changing how often we should post. Chiamaka Harrison pointed out that dwell time is king now.
Meaning the actual seconds someone spends frozen on your post.
It's exactly. Dwell time mathematically dominates posting frequency. Pumping out average content daily just trains the algorithm that you're ignorable. Fewer high-value posts are the way to go.
Which explains the massive organic numbers Morgan Perry and Laura Acosta are seeing. They pointed out that sharing mistakes and personal stories drives exponentially higher impressions.
It builds trust so much faster than corporate updates.
It does, but I have to push back on this for a second.
Okay, go for it.
If every B2B marketer starts sharing their personal failures and vulnerable moments, aren't we just turning LinkedIn into Facebook? Like, where is the line between vulnerable storytelling and losing our professional B2B edge?
It's a fair question, and the risk of oversharing is definitely real. But Anne-Marie Jungluth has a really practical take on this. She argues that personal branding isn't about treating your network like a therapist.
Right.
It's about multidimensionality. If you only ever post about SaaS pricing models, you look like a robot.
Because nobody is exclusively obsessed with SaaS pricing models 24/7.
Yep. Exactly. Jungluth points out that having diverse interests, maybe you're an SEO expert who volunteers at a food bank, or I don't know, a leadership coach who keeps bees, and doesn't make you unprofessional. It just proves you aren't an AI bot.
It's basically proof of life for the algorithm.
Yeah. Human buyers build trust with multidimensional people.
That makes total sense. But, you know, while we're trying to prove we're human to the buyers, there's this whole other battle happening. We literally have to prove our relevance to machines that are reading our profiles to serve to buyers.
Oh, you're talking about GEO. Generative engine optimization.
Yes. Melissa Rosenthal shared some mind-blowing data from Semrush. They analyzed 325,000 prompts, right? LinkedIn URLs appear in 11% of all AI responses. It's beating Wikipedia.
That is insane.
But here is the kicker for you listening. 59% of those cited LinkedIn links come from individual profiles, not company pages.
Wow. So the AI views an individual profile as a highly verified source of primary data. Timothy Hughes actually tackles this in his 2026 book. He notes that GEO is the new foundational strategy.
Because buyers are changing how they research?
Exactly. They aren't going to a corporate website. They're asking Claude or ChatGPT to build a vendor shortlist before they ever talk to sales.
So wait, optimizing a profile isn't just for human recruiters or prospects anymore. We are literally doing SEO for ChatGPT and Claude.
We absolutely are. Alif Shili has this fantastic framework where he says your profile is literally a prompt now. If it gives the algorithm weak signals, your outbound content has to work 10 times harder.
And Paula Jmina-Magia suggests defining 3 to 5 semantic hooks that you want LLMs to permanently associate with your brand, right?
Yeah, hyper-specific phrases in your headline and about section. So if company pages are capped at 1.6% reach and individual profiles drive 59% of AI citations, businesses basically have no choice but to activate their employees and executives.
It sounds like a difference between forcing your team to wear a really uncomfortable corporate uniform versus giving them a budget to express their own professional style.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right. The uniform makes everyone look the same, which just triggers the AI spam filters anyway.
Exactly. And we're seeing this shift from copy-paste distribution to authentic employee-led visibility. Leah Haberman, Steph Late, Kristen Lombard, they've all highlighted this.
The financial upside of doing it right is huge. Bradley Keenan and Jody Leon shared this case study from Aptian. They generated $357,000 in ROI in just 2 months from employee advocacy.
That's incredible for 2 months.
Yeah, but the secret sauce wasn't just having junior reps post. It was executive buy-in.
Which is huge because LinkedIn actively rewards senior thought leadership. Anna Bertoldini observed that LinkedIn created a specific top voice category just for executives.
Right, and Dino Delek had this great insight for comms leaders. Since 75% of what LLM cite comes from individuals, you have to brief your employees like journalists, not billboards. Let them interpret the data in their own voice.
Okay, so visibility and AI training are great. But for the B2B marketers and account executives listening, the ultimate goal is pipeline. How do we turn this attention into revenue?
Well, this brings up the whole debate around the social selling index, the SSI score.
Oh, yeah. This is a hot topic.
For sure. Adam Laiko and Noor Farjad have noted that a low SSI quietly throttles your account. It literally limits your connection requests to maybe 20 or 30 a week.
But on the flip side, Nikul K and Michael Scott Cohen, who reached the top 1% of SSI, they argue that obsessing over the score is backwards. It's just a lagging indicator of genuine relationship building, not some growth hack.
Right. If you're just clicking around to game the algorithm, you aren't actually selling. Anthony Natoli shared tactical pipeline advice instead. He uses the 5x5 method for AEs.
How does that work?
Basically, you pick 5 accounts and 5 prospects, and you use real-time engagement signals like comments or job changes to craft hyper-specific outreach.
Quality over quantity. Steve Osborne has a great strategy, too, using LinkedIn newsletters as a high-intent audience filter. You move prospects out of the noisy feed and into a dedicated subscriber base.
And the ROI on this kind of targeted activation is just undeniable. Olga Bondareva shared a case study from Harbinger, a commercial EV startup.
Oh, I saw this one.
Yeah. They generated $1.25 million in closed deals and a 400% ROI in 7 months, just through target contact activation, authentic posts about leaving the diesel industry.
And Jonathan Levy backs this up with data. He notes inbound leads convert at 14.6% compared to outbound's 1.7%.
Which begs the question, if inbound converts 8 times better than outbound, why do we still see so many AEs relying on pitch slapping and tracking vanity metrics like SSI? Is it just impatience?
Honestly, yes, it's impatience. Building trust through ungoogleable content takes discipline. But as the algorithm changes show, it's the only scalable way to actually penetrate a B2B market right now.
It's true. The machine is basically forcing us to be better, more human marketers.
It really is. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final forward-looking twist.
Oh, slay it on us.
So we've been talking all about optimizing profiles for buyers and AI, right? Well, Richie Pethour just posted about a massive legal battle brewing in Europe.
Oh, the privacy one.
Yes, the privacy group NOIB just filed a GDPR complaint arguing that LinkedIn's paywalling of profile visitor data is fundamentally illegal.
Wait, so the premium feature where you see who looked at your profile?
Exactly. They are arguing that hiding that tracking data behind a paywall violates privacy laws. So if this lawsuit succeeds and anonymity reigns, or if premium tracking data is completely stripped away, how will social sellers identify warm intent signals in the future?
Man, if we lose profile views, that is a huge blind spot for social sellers.
It's massive. It's definitely something every B2B marketer needs to keep a very close eye on.
Absolutely. If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and AI in B2B marketing.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our next deep dive.